And we're turning our attention now to Rosh Hashanah, now that we've started Slichos. And this is a piece from the altar, and it's pretty characteristic, but he tries to tilt some of the ideas and themes he's already discussed towards Rosh Hashanah. There it is, Elliot. But there are a couple themes that they maybe built down. Elliot's father, Aaron, sit down, Matthew. There are a couple of themes that he introduces that are a bit fresh. Good morning, Aaron. Good morning. So let's start with paragraph 3 on page 1. We'll read this a little bit out of order, just to make it a little bit more understandable. Kvar amadnu pa'amim rabos b'sichoseinu. We've talked extensively, even in this corner, over the last month, that a person was made as the pinnacle of creation, as the choice product of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world isn't dark, but it's light. Man isn't futile, but is empowered. But here there's a slight twist, that his true genius lies in his intellectual capabilities. Line number 1, Lahavin ulahaskil. Unlike the first brand of Musar, which was to a degree anti-intellectual, this is a very intellectual brand of Musar. Musar was a movement that started as experiential. You know what's right, but somehow in the heat of the moment you lose your courage. So Musar was an attempt to inject moral clarity into your subconscious. It wasn't an intellectual process. It was an experiential process. Screaming, chanting, moving, repeating statements and lines. This is the second wave of Musa. Man's pure genius is his intellect. And man's intellect supersedes the intellect of the malachim. Okay, so this is something we haven't seen before. Man is not just the zenith of creation, but his truest and most surpassing trait is his intellect. And then he repeats some of the things we've said before, and that Adam, afal pi shechata, not only was original man created in such supreme fashion, but even fallen man still has that latent capacity to recover some of that perfect empowerment which HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered to him. He quotes a pasuk in Eov, when one of Eov's friends is trying to console him, in Perek Yud Aleph, Ayar Pera Adam Yulad, a person was born wild, barbaric, untamed. That sounds very reducing of human identity. Man is a barbarian. Man is a beast. Man is a para. But listen to how the altar treats this. Avalonishtana tsuraso be'etzem mitzuraso. Even though that's fallen man, and fallen man is flawed, but his core is still the same. How does he prove that the core of fallen man is still the same as original man? Looking at examples of great people who have achieved the heights which original man was created in. Avram was called Gadol Be'anakim. The Dor HaMidbar was called a Dor Dea. This is on the second page. I skipped up it. Moshe. Moshe is called Ish Elokim. So Avram is called Gadol Ba'anakim, Pasuk in Yahshua. Moshe is called Ish Elokim. The generation of the desert, beginning of the second page, second side, is a Dor Dea, as a generation of intellectual achievement before their fall at Har Sinai. And of course, Shlomo HaMelech is called Vayechka Mikol Adam. Listen carefully. You have very few Musar sefers that would quote Shmuel as a paradigm. Shmuel is a complicated personality, especially in contrast to David. But he had the altar quoting Shmuel as a paradigm, as an exemplar, because Shlomo HaMelech achieved intellectual heights. So this is essentially things we've seen before. Man is created great. Man is at the top of creation. Man is empowered. And that empowerment reflects itself in his intellectual capacity. And just to repeat, how even though fallen man can recover, second paragraph on the backside. Everyone has that latent, innate capability. As long as you recover it, you can go from being a wild barbarian to being an enlightened, developed Oved Hashem. He quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, which we've all seen before, but he puts a new spin on the pasuk. Paragraph 2, line number 4. Chanoch lenar al pi darko. Teach each child in their own style. Don't be monochromatic. Don't be monolithic, because not all people are built the same. You can't have one style to teach everyone. Gam kishayaskin, when he gets older, yelech v'yishtalem yoser v'yoser. The simple reading of that pasuk is, if your education is person-appropriate, then it'll be authentic and genuine, then it'll be enduring. If education is artificial, then it's transient and fleeting. So if I teach you the same way I teach Nati, then that will be very, very ethereal. But if I teach you your way, and I create a genuine, religious, authentic voice, and you have your own genuine, still be enduring, it'll last long. But for the elder, it means something else. Teach the Nara that he should always work, even when he's old. The second part of the pasuk is not just the consequence of the first part of the pasuk; it's the content. What should you teach a young person? That even when he grows old, he should continue to work. Chanoch lenar pitarko. What should you tell a nar? Gam kishiaskin. Even when you grow older, lo yasu mimenu. Keep working at it. Which to us is a very important point. You never grow old, not just in Judaism, in life and development. You never see yourself as growing old. Edison was inventing when he was 81 years old. Great poets, great artists, never stop. But in this context, it means you're always trying to recover your lost self. Because you can recover that elusive, surpassing level of Adam Arishon. So even if you've achieved something in life, until you reattain those lofty standards of Adam Arishon, you should continue to work. Okay, so this is classic Slabatger concepts. We've spoken about them this entire month. I haven't mentioned the word Rosh Hashanah. This is simply about the greatness of man, the fall from greatness, the ability to recover that greatness, and to continue working till the day you die to recover that lost reality or that lost identity. What does this have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Well, there are two strategies on Rosh Hashanah, and for Slabatger there's a third strategy. One strategy is Godless Hashem, right? The awe-inspiring majesty of Hashem on the day He created the world and reasserts His sovereignty when He judges mankind. Then there's Shiflas Adam. The man is pointless. Manu machayenu manu ma lefenecha yashev mara manu saper lefenecha shechen shechakim. We say this in davening. In Slabatka, believe it or not, no surprise, what should you feel in Rosh Hashanah? Not just Godless Hashem and not just Shiflas Adam, but Godless Adam. The greatness of man, because that's a route to understand the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through the greatness of man, through reasserting that greatness, on Rosh Hashanah, the day you were created perfect, that's the day of man's creation, Rosh Hashanah. So this is the day to celebrate and to identify Gadlus Adam. And understanding Gadlus Adam will put you in touch or attune you to your responsibilities to this world, because Hashem created you that way. And the best way to embrace Hashem's Malchus is by fulfilling your task, which means enunciating and amplifying your humanity and serving Hashem with all of that humanity. So that's paragraph 4 in the back page. Zoi avoda hamutelos al adam bimeadin. Zoi derech hatshuva. This is our challenge. This is our experience. Lis amek besichlo. It's a very intellectual day to understand the contours of this day. Lishtalim b'chachma. To complete your wisdom of understanding your role in Hashem's expectations of you. Uvedea, uvedas, and intellectualism. Velalos mala mala, to rise, behatem letachlis etziraso. Rise and meet the standard, the essence of how you were created. Vehaikar, very important line, lavo at cheker libo. Okay, so for early Musarniks, Rosh Hashanah was a day perhaps to suppress your intellect and to delve into some moral experience where you'd be able to identify moral compulsions at a level that's deeper than intellect. For Hasidim, it was completely experiential. Dancing, singing, leaving the intellect aside and clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu across the distance between man and God to experience in a way that intellect can't cover. But for a Slabatka, taking a moment and thinking, reading, deeply understanding what Hashem's role and what your role in creation is and what Hashem's expectations are. And if not, he talks a little bit later, if you just mouth it, then it's artificial, then it's just mumbling, it's just mimicking. It's understanding and trying to reach perfection as a human being, because that's Hashem's expectation. And hence, consequently, this is the final piece. Now we can go back to the beginning. That's why I read it out of order. This is a day to think about your role, your greatness, your lost self, and the ability to recover that lost self, so the regnant, dominant emotion shouldn't be sadness, shouldn't be morose, morbid solemnity. It should be pride, strength, confidence. Ezra expresses this. Ezra is fully aware of the corrosive impact of chait. What does Ezra say? We'll say this a lot in our davening. The first paragraph, the first line. Boshti v'nechlamti. I'm embarrassed. L'harim elokai panay lech. I can't even lift my head. Imagine being so embarrassed with your sin, you can't even lift your head. Ki avonaseinu rava l'mala rosh. Because my sins are so numerous. Yet that same Ezra, who was so smart that he could have been Moshe Rabbeinu, who's called Ezra Sofer, he was supposed to be Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. But Moshe preempted him. We didn't need him, so to speak, but he was a Moshe-like candidate. How did Ezra capture the day? Look at paragraph 2, a very famous pasuk. He gathers the Jewish people in the square when they come back from Galus Bavel. Ezra, it's actually in Nehemiah Paraches, it's also listed in Ezra. Line number 3, paragraph 2. Al tisablu. Don't mourn, al tifku, don't cry, lichu ichlu mashmanim, eat the best meat, ushetu mamtakim, drink the best wine, al teyatzvu, don't be sad, ki chedvas Hashem, hi moschem. Because Hashem's joy is your strength. Chedvas Hashem, he moschem. He's telling us that on Rosh Hashanah, you shouldn't be sad. You should be confident. You shouldn't be gloomy. You should be proud to be Hashem's chosen creature. Notice, there's a very, very slight obscuring between Jew and non-Jew. Because much of what he has said about man applies even to, because every man comes from other. Whereas we think about Rosh Hashanah as a day uniquely for the pride of a Jew. We'll talk about this a lot. Even though everyone's being judged, we're the only ones who have Zchus Avos, we're the only ones who have Kedas Yitzchak, we're the only ones who are Yodei Trua. It's a very interesting, he doesn't really talk about that much. But this is a very important issue, which I'll talk about in different contexts. Last line, Harish Yaderech HaTshuva, the second paragraph, He lo yede avelus v'b'chiyus, not crying and mourning, lo yede atzvus, being sad, lo yede chedvas Hashem, celebrating Hashem's joy in creating you, v'haskala b'divrei Torah, an understanding Torah, and understanding the message that Torah gives for human development, for human growth. So this is classic Slobodka concepts. We've talked about that all month, but streamlined or slipstreamed into Rosh Hashanah. We'll see a little more development of this in Rosh Hashanah tomorrow. Have a good day, everyone. A good week. Yasher koach to all the minion warriors. So far, you're one for one. Let's see who's going to pull off a perfect streak all through Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Let's see. Okay, we're not counting, but we are. Good morning, everyone.